This is New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Laura Kiernan with Perspectives. My guest on today's show is Ron Spearman. Friday night, he'll perform Ask Your Mama, 12 Moods for Jazz, the epic poem by the African-American poet and writer Langston Hughes. The event begins a two-day tribute to Hughes in celebration of Black History Month. It's also the last event in a year-long celebration of the founding of the McDowell Colony in Peterborough, the country's oldest retreat for artists. Spearman is an actor and baritone singer. He spent years studying Hughes and his work, and he spent some time at McDowell working on a documentary about him. When Langston Hughes read his poetry, he was accompanied by blues and jazz music. I asked Ron Spearman why Hughes wanted to combine poetry and music.
I don't know. He started that back in the early 30s. He started experimenting with poetry being read and then accompanied by music. Langston was really looking for a literary style. When he listened to blues singers, he was listening to the music, but it was the poetry of the blues that he was really drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
So he began to write blues poetry. Then when jazz comes in, he begins to write jazz poetry. And then to top it off, he starts reciting the poetry, and the great jazz performers were playing their instruments, giving their impressions. And this is how this whole thing began.
Well, were there other people doing that in Harlem in those days?
No.
No, none at all.
Not at all. Not of the literary genre that Hughes and County Cullen and Brown and Thurman and all of the others were involved, and he was the only one.
Was it popular, Ron, or was it controversial?
There's always in the background of Langston's poetry a little stinging consciousness, and He enjoyed talking about the soul and the spirit of Black people. He enjoyed that, but in a literary form.
Did that sting result from something in his own life, Ron?
All of the reading, from 1920s straight through until 1967, Langston was always disappointed, and remember his whole litany of poems like Dreams Deferred, Why Are My Dreams Still Deferred, etc. And this is the theme, one of the themes that runs all through all of his poetry. He was optimistic that one day the American scene would be of us all together, of people doing things and not by the color of skin and things of that sort. And he was criticized for doing that.
Well, I'm wondering how white readers and critics reacted to his work in those days.
In the early days, he found a lot of trouble trying to get it published, trying to get publishers who would take a chance, and the Black critics of his time called him a gutter rat, because he saw what was really happening and he put it into poetic terms, and they said, you've got to lift the race up, you can't continue to do this. So Langston stayed on course. He would refuse to make the change.
Did he pay a price for that, Ron?
He paid a terrible price. The House of Un-American Activities, brought him to Washington, and they were going to take his passport, and they were going to not allow him to do any literary writing and speaking. And the compromise was made somehow, and he was released to continue his writing. And he found a good friend, some good friends who helped him to continue his literary work.
Ron, I wonder if you could read some of Langston Hughes' early work for us. Jazzonia, can you tell us
about
it?
Oh, yes. That's one of his first poetic attachments to the jazz music that was coming into Harlem at the time. and it's called Jazzonia. O silver tree, O shining rivers of the soul, in a Harlem cabaret, six long-headed jazzers play. A dancing girl whose eyes are bold lifts high a dress of silk and gold. O shining tree, O shining rivers of the soul. Were Eve's eyes in the first garden just a bit too bold? Was Cleopatra gorgeous in a gown of gold? O shining tree, O shining rivers of the soul. In a whirling cabaret, six long-headed jazzers play.
We're talking about the poetry of Langston Hughes, and my guest is Ron Spearman. You like to read that, don't you?
I certainly do.
As a performer and as an actor, Ron, how important is it to have work like that to read? I mean, does it make a difference to you the way he writes as a performer? And as an African-American, mm-hmm. is it important to you?
You know, number one, I'm glad that I lived about 30 years in Harlem and only a few blocks away from where Langston was. So the flavor, the soul, as he calls it, of those people, I can hear how they would pronounce a flavor, a word, how they would make a word sing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first part of the question. You said the second part?
As an actor.
I'm very glad that I had the experience of being on Broadway, to travel, to do concerts, and to work, you know, before audiences. And fortunately for me, I was given a speaking voice that I can use in that work, you know.
Langston Hughes wrote Ask Your Mama.
Mm-hmm.
A few years before his death. He died in 1967, and he wrote this last long poem in the early 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
What was happening in his life then, Ron?
He was very angry. Let me put it that way. I won't kid you. Langston was very angry when he was writing Ask Your Mama, 12 Moods for Jazz, because Ask Your Mama, 12 Moves for Jazz is really playing the dozens.
Now, what does that mean?
I knew you were going to ask that. It's a verbal confrontation that boys and girls in the South will do. They will poke fun at you, and then it accelerates. And then finally, someone will say something about your mama. Now, those are fighting words.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone says, you did this, and somebody will answer, well, ask your mama if I did it or not. And so he's using this expression to counteract things that border on racism, bigotry, and humor. And it's tremendous humor in laughing at himself and laughing at the whole condition throughout this whole thing.
Well, what was he angry about at that time when he was writing it? I read something that said that a lot of this came to him in 1961 when he was at the Newport Jazz Festival.
Right. He was on the board of the Newport Jazz Festival down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an experience where there was a big riot, etc., and all of the musicians left and all of the people left, and he wanted to hold them together. So he walked out on stage, and he asked one of the jazz players to improvisate against what he had just written. And he started reciting the poem, and then this jazz player, he played an improvisational reaction to it, and he completed this whole thing in about a year. He began it in early July of the following year. In 1961, he had finished it. So Laura, I don't know if I've answered all your questions, but he was very angry. He was despondent that the dreams that he had wished for had not come true.
What did he wish for, Ron?
He wanted to see a better relationship between men and women, races. He wanted to see he wanted black people's contributions to be recognized. And these are some of the things that he was disappointed at.
Now, his biographer, Arnold Ramper, has said, as you did, that there was a lot of anger in this poem of Hughes's, mm-hmm. and that he, and this working with insult, and using that mm-hmm. insult, Ask Your Mama, really, mm-hmm. as the title of it. Who did he write this for, Ron? Because he also included liner notes, which were intended, as I read them, to translate what he was getting at. Translated for white people is mm-hmm. how I read it.
Uh-huh.
Is that?
Not only white, but even for his own literary friends and so forth. It's an epic poem that is very difficult to... I always apologize. When I'm going to talk about Ask Your Mama, 12 Moves for Jazz, I always started off with saying to the audience and people, I am still trying to learn out what Langston Hughes was saying and who he was directing his anger at. And I'll tell you that even though I've been working with it for years, and as I told Ram Prasad when I visited him down at Princeton, I said, can you answer the question? He says, no, I can't. Barksdale, one of the great critics of Langston Hughes, he was saying, this man is such a genius, but you have to really know how he moves you from one thing to the next. And you have to keep always alert. You asked me, your question was, what was he looking for? Maybe if I recited something like commercial theater, that would give you an idea of where Langston was coming from.
Well, let's hear it.
All right. This is called Note on a Commercial Theater. You've taken my blues and gone. You sing them on Broadway, and you sing them in Hollywood Bowl. And you mixed them up so with symphonies, and you fix them so they don't sound like me. Yep, you done taken my blues and gone. You also took my spirituals and gone. You put me in Macbeth and Carmen Jones and all kinds of swing Mikados and in everything but what's about me. But someday somebody'll stand up and talk about me and write about me, black and beautiful, and sing about me and put on plays about me. I reckon it'll be me myself. Yes, it'll be me.
You're listening to Ron Spearman read the poetry of Langston Hughes. So was he getting at there, Ron? Seems pretty clear.
Yes.
He's very angry.
How the...
And disappointed.
Mm-hmm, very disappointed. How the... As in one of the lines in the Ask Your Mama, he says, and the footsteps go into Harlem, and they take away the music, and they take it downtown. And he's talking about the contribution of blues, traditional musics, and so forth that have been created, and how they are used in the commercial world.
Now, Ron, that poem, Note on Commercial Theater, was written in the early 30s. Now, how did his style change in Ask Your Mama, 12 Moods for Jazz? Did his writing change, or just his tone, or how would you describe it?
Well, a bit of all of that. The tone changed, the writing changed. It was if Langston was trying to crowd all 40 years of writing into one poem, Ask Your Mama, 12 Moods for Jazz. And as you read through it, you'll find sections that go back to the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, and all the experiences that he had come through in his lifestyle or in the poetry of this, or in the lines of this poetry.
Well, now you have a piece there from Langston Hughes' last poem, Ask Your Mama 12 Moods for Jazz. Tell us about the piece that you're going to read for us.
Well, this first mood is called Cultural Exchange, and that is very important for the listeners to remember. In it, he's talking about the one culture, growing up in one culture, probably escaping from it and moving into another. So I think you'll get the idea when I want to, as I read this.
Go ahead.
In the quarter of the Negroes, where the doors are doors of paper, dust of dingy atoms blows a scratchy sound. Amorphous jack-o'-lanterns caper, and the wind won't wait for midnight for fun to blow doors down. By the river and the railroad, with fluid far-off going, boundaries bind, unbinding, a whirl of whistles blowing. No trains or steamboats going, yet Leontine's unpacking.
You have a smile on your face. Now, that, of course, is a reference to Leontine Price.
That is right.
So what's Hughes getting at there, Ron?
Well, he is saying it. He says, In the quarter of the Negroes, that is the area where the Negroes lived, Leontine grew up in it. She grew up in Mississippi. She grew up in that background. But she was able to escape and move from it into the other higher cultures and become a prima donna in the world of opera.
How did Hughes feel about people like that?
Oh, he really... Oh, in the Ask Your Mama, he poked so much fun at the people who come up in Harlem and who then move out to Long Island and to move out to St. Albans and where the schools are better for our children and the kids less meaner than in the court of the Negroes. he starts poking fun at them, you know, and naming them. That's what he does.
Who else does he name?
Oh, my goodness. He starts off, well, let's start off with the athletes, you know. Let's start off with Jazz, Duke and Dizzy and Dolphy. Let's start off with, say, Campanella and Jackie Robinson and baseball and then the Globetrotters. I mean, all of these people out of the Harlem scene earning money. So where do they move? They move away from Harlem into out on the island.
My guest is Ron Spearman, and we're talking about the poet Langston Hughes. Ron, when you present this to an audience, do you hand out the liner notes that Langston Hughes himself prepared? Do you
yes.
use that?
Oh, yes. That's on all of the programs. And even when they read them, they will still say, well, what does he mean? In the quarter of the Negroes, where the doors are doors of paper, dust of dingy atoms blows a scratchy sound. He's talking about the vulnerability of blacks living in a quarter of the town. And they can't go in the back because there's the river. They can't go in forward because there's a railroad track. Mm-hmm. And so he talks about the setting, you know. But one person was able to do it. And then he moves us to Harlem, and he shows us how many of the great African-American artists and painters and so forth were able to move out of that rat hole.
Do you find that it's tough to get an audience involved in this? Are you taking a risk here with this, do you think?
Ah, yeah, it goes every time. You know, I think about... For 4 years, I've wanted to bring this to New Hampshire, not as a hitting you over the head or hand venture, but to make them understand and appreciate a great African-American poet.
Yeah, because in New Hampshire, you could be virtually guaranteed your audience will be 99% white.
That is true. That is quite true. We have a few of the African-American organizations who are going to come in and support us. But it is a very powerful work. He doesn't poke fun at you. He only describes what exists. And it's up to us. For example, he was a very good friend of Martin Luther. He liked and loved Martin Luther, and he predicted in this poem, when he says there's blood on the horn of the unicorn, which Martin Luther refused. He didn't see, he wasn't able to see, you know, that led to his assassination. Martin Luther King in New Hampshire is, I think there's a reasonable amount of participation and dedication to it. Mm-hmm. But New Hampshire still has not as yet accepted, our Black History Month as a part of our culture.
You know, Ron, Langston Hughes wrote this in 1961.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think he would have said if he was writing it in 1996?
Well, that question also says what I think he would say, you know. I think Langston would have seen some changes. He would have seen some changes in a lot of areas. He would have seen some very anxious and dedicated people who want to do right, who want to be loyal and support its citizens. I think he would have seen some of that. At the same time, it's so difficult to describe New Hampshire. There aren't many blacks up here, you know? So I think Langston Hughes would have begun to recognize some of the changes, social changes, and so forth that have been happening since his death.
Well, now in choosing work of Langston Hughes to present to an audience, why pick this poem in which he's at the end of his life? He's so terribly angry and frustrated, and as you say, he almost collects all of that's been within him, mm-hmm. his whole life, and mm-hmm. lays it out mm-hmm. in the strongest possible terms. Mm-hmm. Why choose that to focus on, Ron?
No, number one, I think it is all derived from my own research ego. I saw that this poem had never been performed. It had never been performed as he dictated it to be. And that was my challenge as a researcher and a music educator. So I wrote to a proposal to the National Endowment for the Arts, and they funded it.
And, surprised,
right, well, really, they certainly did. And so that was an opportunity for me to present it where Langston Hughes lived, and that was in Harlem. And the Schoenberg Center for Research is located right at 135th and Lenox, because Lenox now is called Malcolm X.
This is in Harlem.
Yes,
course,
in Harlem.
Yeah.
And when you walk into the library, it's a library. It's a part of the New York City library system. In the center, there is a design in the floor of Langston Hughes' most popular poem, which is called The Negro Speaks of Rivers. It's all there, and the rivers are all running out from the center. But guess what's in the center?
What?
His ashes.
Oh.
The cremated ashes of him are right in the center. That is the heart of Harlem. And the auditorium there is called the Langston Hughes Auditorium. And on 1994, the first performance was given right there.
Well, Ron Spearman, thank you very much for coming to see us.
My pleasure.